Well, Ford has released its 17th, yes, 17th annual sustainability report for 2015 and 2016. And here again to give us a few highlights is John Vieira. John is the Global Director of Sustainability for the Ford Motor Company. John, it's been about a year. It's always great to have you back on the program.
Love to be on the program, Kirk. Thanks for having me again.
Last year, we talked a little bit about Ford's Smart Mobility Plan, which I know you've designed to help solve some of the most complex mobility problems that we're going to be facing, not only now, but down the road. This year, the report featured something right there at your world headquarters called Dynamic Shuttle, a couple of programs in London. Talk to us a little bit about the importance of mobility and then in general, and then those programs in particular.
Yeah, fantastic, Kurt. So the importance of mobility, Mark Fields, it's probably been about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, when he came out and said, we not only need to be a traditional automotive company of producing cars and trucks, but we want to be a mobility company as well. And so we created this Ford Smart Mobility. And, the concept around being a mobility company and what Ford Smart Mobility is all about, it's just, moving people, right? Moving people and goods, but in particular people. And it doesn't necessarily have to mean that the people have to own a vehicle in order to be able to move. As a matter of fact, with congestion and other things, it's going to be important to move people with not everybody owning a vehicle. So we have a couple of several concepts that, we're actually working on right now and actually implementing right now. And the one that you brought up, the dynamic shuttle that we have on the Ford campus, we have a fairly large campus here in Dearborn. And the concept is, why don't we use, this very creative dynamic shuttle to move our employees around? And it's a matter of, we have an app that you could actually get on and, ask for the shuttle and tell them, what time it needs to actually come to get you. And it's just a very efficient way of, it's like hailing a cab, or this time it's a shuttle, to get you from one Ford location within Dearborn to another. And it's just a fantastic concept that clearly we would be able to apply, I'm going to call it, to the general public.
And then, so that's close to home on your campus in Dearborn. What about these programs over in jolly old England?
Yeah, so since we're a global company, we said, let's not just restrict some of this mobility fund to the Dearborn area. And so you mentioned Go Park and Go Drive. So Go Park is like a predictive parking system that actually directs, if you're using this application, it actually directs, our customers to open parking spaces. And, one of the big concerns, Kirk, in large cities throughout the world, and London's no different, people could spend a tremendous amount of time looking for parking spaces, right? So that's not only a waste of their time, they're actually emitting, right, clearly more emissions looking around. So having this type of a smart application is really valuable for the people's time, but also for the environment. And then we have another application that we call Go Drive, and it's a car sharing program, right? And it basically provides vehicles, to people. Yeah, they have guaranteed parking spots. There's these guaranteed locations, and it just makes it very easy to get around without having to own a vehicle, but basically handle, all of your transportation needs through this particular system.
John, as one who's had the great misfortune of driving in towns like London and Rome and Paris, I can really appreciate what you're talking about. How much of this mobility issue is driven by this demographic where we're seeing all over the world more and more people moving from rural areas into urban areas?
It's a great point, because that is the key issue. And we talk about, the Londons, we talk about New York and L.A., but if you go to, some of the other emerging countries throughout the world, in China, the big cities in China and in India, you are seeing, a tremendous amount of people moving into the urban areas, because the urban areas, number one, have jobs, but they also have, that's where all the goods and services are. So you could imagine that if everybody was just purchasing vehicles and trying to get into and move around the cities with their own vehicles, you would have even more gridlock than we have today. So when you think about these ride-sharing principles, what that allows you to do is to have folks be able to move around, but you're clearly going to be reducing the number of vehicles, let's say within a city, because you're going to have people sharing those vehicles.
Yeah, and not only from the international standpoint to relieve congestion, which you've just mentioned, but a lot of these millennials, and you know the psychographics on that, they don't necessarily want to own vehicles, but they certainly are in a hurry to get from here to there.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So I talked about the congestion piece, and I think what you're referring to is particularly what we see in the U.S. and in the millennials, the younger kids that are coming out of school and moving into the city, they don't see a need to have a vehicle. Clearly, they're going to want to get around, but they don't see a need to have a vehicle. So just putting congestion aside, for those individuals, for that group of folks, they're interested in getting around but not having to own a vehicle. And clearly, this type of a setup satisfies their needs as well.
What do you see? I mean, you've mentioned some of these major issues, but what do you see are the major challenges in addressing these mobility problems?
Yeah, well, I think some of the major challenges are, number one, you're going to want to be able to provide affordable mobility, right? So it's not just about, okay, it's a ride-sharing program, and there's these different models of moving people around, but it has to be affordable. We talked about the millennials. I mean, they're going to want affordable transportation. But again, when you think globally, in a lot of these, countries that the population is exploding, particularly in cities, the disposable income they have is not very high. They still have the need to move. So how do you come up with these solutions that are very, very affordable, right, and provide them to the communities, but at the same time, clearly we're a business that needs to make money. So, that's one of the big challenges we're going to have.
Ford is America's top seller of plug-in hybrids. And you're going to, according to the sustainability report, you're going to add a few more to the electric vehicle portfolio.
Yes, absolutely. And I appreciate the fact of you mentioning that, we are the top seller of plug-in vehicles. So that's both our plug-in hybrid electric vehicles. We have a Fusion Energy and a C-Max Energy, but then also our full battery electric Focus. So, what our plan is, Kurt, moving forward, I mean, we've actually announced the fact that we're going to invest an additional $4.5 billion, billion dollars, through 2020. And our plan is that we're actually going to add 13 electrified vehicles basically to our portfolio. So clearly we're aggressively moving in that electrified vehicle space, with this announcement and a lot of the work that I clearly see us doing within the company.
As you know, people who have electric vehicles are who are advocates of electric vehicles. You've had the opportunity to see some of the issues that have arisen. Even those of us who love the vehicles would like to see a little bit more range on those batteries. And I know part of what you're doing is investing in battery research technology at the University of Michigan. What do you see as the batteries of the future?
Yeah, no, Kirk, it's spot on. And, kind of talking about Michigan and, you mentioning the fact this collaboration we have with the University of Michigan, there's a $2.1 million investment that was made just in the battery labs at Michigan. And, it's really going to be all about it's the energy density in those batteries. So you mentioned the fact that, boy, I'd like to see more range. So, how do you improve that energy density such that you don't have to, you could actually shrink the size of the battery, but at the same time, really increase the density to allow you to drive farther. And that's really the focus, one of the key focuses we have working with U of M and the battery lab.
Well, it sounds like a redo of the whole computer age technology, where we went from those big dinosaur computers to what we have now that we hold in our hands.
It's a perfect analogy. That is a perfect analogy. And we're aggressively going after it, and a lot of others are as well. So, I applaud, any efforts by any entity that's really trying to move the needle on battery technology, because we'll all benefit from it.
Let's go back to the millennials we talked about just a few moments ago. You know what they want in terms of mobility. You know that a lot of them are pretty green. How do these millennials feel about the future of battery technology?
Well, I think they're excited about it because, like you mentioned, the millennials are much more environmentally conscious, number one. I think, secondly, they're also very tech savvy. So when you think about battery electric vehicles and a lot of what you can do with battery electric vehicles, they like the tech savvy piece as well. So, there's a couple of elements of attraction that those millennials have around electric vehicles.
My guest is John Vieira. He's the Global Director of Sustainability for Ford. John, you've got a couple of programs that you feature in the latest report, really that deal with social sustainability, what we call sociocultural or community sustainability, and they're in Africa. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about these two programs because they're rather remarkable.
Yeah, so the programs that you're referring to, Kirk, we put under the tagline Project Better World. And what we're really trying to accomplish here is how do we get goods and services out to people in the remote areas, right? I mean, how do we do that as a company, and then how do we partner with others to actually make that happen? So the concept that we have, and, you know, I'll give a specific example in South Africa, for instance. So in South Africa, we're working with a local, I want to call it, you know, health non-government organization called World Vision. And basically what we're doing is we have like a rolling mobile clinic where we take one of our Ford Rangers, you know, very tough Ford Ranger that we build in South Africa, and we're actually able to put on that vehicle like mini refrigerators that will carry medicines that need to be refrigerated, but just also other supplies, water, educational information, and we work with a variety of different companies to actually provide those services, and then it's our vehicle that goes out to the outlying areas to actually bring those services to the outlying areas. And in a way, Kurt, when we talked about a lot of people moving outside of the city into the city, it doesn't even require people to move into the city or travel into the city because we're actually getting those services out to them.
Now, are there actually doctors and nurses on the vehicle, or are they at the site where the vehicles would drive to?
Well, so there are medical personnel that are with the vehicle, right? They're not necessarily doctors and nurses. They're probably more technicians. But some of the other services that we also offer is a lot of these vehicles are connected. So, you know, we've had similar pilots in India where the same concept, we use our vehicles getting information and, let's say, you know, certain medications out to the villages, and they're actually connected to through the internet to one of the local hospitals where you could have doctors and nurses on the other end of the phone or on, through the web, basically providing information to the technician that's actually in the vehicle.
Bringing that whole cultural piece into it along with the environmental and the economic in a way that you do is almost unprecedented.
Well, we really appreciate that recognition, Kurt, and that acknowledgement, because you do feel good about that. Clearly, it is all about the, you know, we want to focus on the environment and making, you know, the earth a better place. But at the end of the day, you know, it is all about making people's lives better. And, you know, if you could do that, boy, it's a fantastic feeling, and you know that you're really making a difference, and it's just an honor to be working on those types of projects.
John, we've got a minute left, but I'd also not want to fail to mention the ongoing work in recycling and water use. We just talked to one of your engineers about CO2 capture to make foam parts and plastic parts for your vehicles, but you continue to make progress and benchmark in those areas as well.
Yeah, we absolutely do. And I think that's a great story where we're capturing that CO2 and making plastic parts, and recycling the big deal. And the one thing I do want to mention, Kurt, that's very tangible here in Michigan, you know, at our Dearborn plant that produces our F-150, you know that it's made out of aluminum. And, you know, actually we take recycling seriously there. We actually have that plant produces 20 million pounds of aluminum scrap per month. We completely recycle all 20 million pounds of that aluminum, and that recycled aluminum by itself produces 30,000 new pickup trucks. So we're completely recycling all the aluminum within that plant, and that's the concept that we're trying to drive throughout the company.
Way back to when Bill Ford read Cradle to Cradle, and you guys have been moving forward ever since.
That is the definition of Cradle to Cradle. That's exactly it, Kurt.
Well, John, it's always a pleasure. We could talk for another hour, but I always appreciate your time, and it's always so exciting to grab your sustainability report. This time it's the 17th for 2015 and 2016. Some wonderful reading there. I encourage our listeners to go to your website, or they can just Google the sustainability report for Ford.
Absolutely.
I've been talking with John Vieira. John is the Global Director of Sustainability for the Ford Motor Company. John, always a pleasure having you on Greening of the Great Lakes.
Thanks so much, Kurt, and looking forward to talking to you in the future.